Incoming pitch. Spin rate of 2,500 RPM, 95.6 miles per hour.
Adjusting swing. 12 degrees. Proceed with launch angle.
Welcome back into the Launch Angle Podcast. This is Rob D. You can find me on Twitter at DeathBullHitter. I'll be bringing in Rob Silver and Jeff Zimmerman very shortly. And we'll be discussing a ton of things, including the news on Garrett Cole and a bunch of ADP talk as well. Just a reminder, every other episode of the Launch Angle Podcast you can find on the Pull Hitter Patreon. Go to patreon.com, put Pull Hitter Fantasy in the search bar. Or if you are on X, you can go to @DeathBullHitter and it's pinned tweet. It'll take you right to the site. If you want to follow just the Launch Angle crew, and it's additional $5 per month, you get the other podcasts that we do that are not public. And for a couple more bucks, you can join and get my daily podcast where I review box scores, look at the mine in the news, whatever actionable resources I could find. I'm giving to you daily for spring training, for the regular season. I do a couple of lineup pods per week when the season starts. If you're setting your NFBC lineups or Fantrax lineup Monday to Thursday, Friday to Sunday. So come check it out. You can try for a week free if you'd like and join on in. Also, too, reminder that you can go to pullhittermerch.myshopify.com. We have some Launch Angle gear there if you want to check it out, some merchandise. If you want to support the show through those means as well, leave a nice rating or review on Apple Podcasts if you can for the show. And we greatly appreciate you guys listening. Enjoy the show.
Here's the pitch.
All right, welcome on into another episode of the Launch Angle Podcast. It's Monday, March 11th. We're marching down to the opening of baseball season. I'm here with Rob Silver, Jeff Zimmerman, and we are going to get breaking down into the latest news. A lot of stuff happening. We'll get talking about ADP as well. Gentlemen, how's it going on this wonderful afternoon?
Okay. My computer is kind of on the fritz. The fan just decided to make a lot of loud noises. So as soon as we're done here, I'm going to go get a new computer and start getting that set up because I'm going to be traveling here for a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm. Better do that.
At least it didn't happen while I was traveling, but it's still true. Not the best timing of when to happen.
Definitely not.
It's crazy that mains are starting like in 24 hours. I don't know if we're even allowed to acknowledge that there are mains happening yet. Have we violated any rules by even saying that there's mains? No, that it's mains are happening. Like it literally, I tweeted this out and I was mostly joking. Like it feels like 15 minutes ago that I realized what team Sonny Gray is on and suddenly drafts are live. For those of us who haven't been drafting since last August, it's amazing how quickly the last few months have gone. But yeah, this is our last public podcast before Vegas. So basically before the season starts, not just the Korean version of the season, like the actual season, I think.
When is your first main, Rob?
Wednesday this week, early. Oh, my wow. My championship league qualifier is I wanted to get it done quickly and early. And it's one of the few that have actually filled with 15 teams. I'm picking eighth, so right in the middle, which was, I feel like almost everybody's going just pure butter. So I got my eighth pick, which was the eighth pick, which is fine.
I love it. Do you feel like with your change to doing some early drafting this year that you feel any more prepared than you have in previous years?
It's hard to ask me in October. yeah. I feel quite ready. So we'll see. But no hubris or arrogance. Everybody's ready at this time.
You won't have main event ADP to look at though, Rob, because that's not
available. I will not, nor should it be. That would be wrong. Very, very wrong if I could see what happened on Tuesday on Wednesday.
Yes,
it would cheapen things if things went well by being able to see that. You should have to wait five drafts before you can look at ADP. It's the only way to do it.
Right, because that's where the actual stabilization in ADP comes. You don't want to get tricked with one draft, Rob. It just that would just that's like spring training noise, It's ADP noise in the spring training form.
Which is not untrue. Like, look, to the extent there's draft inflation in the mains, part of it is I want Bailey Ober. Bailey Ober's ADP in online events has been 100. I'm making up numbers for the last week. And I want Bailey Ober. So I'm going to, in the first main, take him at 90 to see if I get him. And then the next draft, it's 85, and then it's 80, and then it's 75. And it's just a question of how high it goes. But everybody's reacting. I just picked Bailey Ober, obviously, completely randomly. everybody's reacting to the last draft. So as much as there's an argument that it's really helpful, it can also be a curse because everybody has that same information. So maybe you get Bailey Ober still at 90 because you have nothing to react to because nobody's going to leak the draft boards from Tuesday. So you won't know what's happening. It's like one of those blackout periods. It's secret. It's just going to be a secret void with no information on Wednesday, which of course is bullshit. Of course, everybody will know.
But the deal is, it's like, it's just one draft, or I don't know, maybe they're having two that night. But this upcoming weekend, I have the Tout Wars auction, which is OBP. There's been one public OBP league. Do I even use that? And it was like 2 weeks ago.
Like, no.
Exactly. It's like, who? I mean, maybe it's one day, you know, difference or whatever. But it's like, oh, here's what they did, and it's like, yeah, it's kind of who gives a shit, like type of thing. It's like, I know I have to go different and just do the correct valuations. But it's like one draft, and who knows if someone else is going to bump someone up. It's crazy. I mean, I think it came through the Discord last night where me and Haynes were in the same OC, and we had that guy that went like 10 straight starters to go the draft. It was like, people can just do whatever the hell they want to you. I mean, usually that stuff doesn't happen in the main, but you could have the rogue drafter around.
Oh, especially after the Korea games. Weird shit's going to happen. Weird shit's going to happen after those two games.
And that's a good point. I'll get back to the Ober thing. But if someone does take him 85 in the first draft, and you're doing the second draft, and like, this is where I need to take him, and you take him at even 80, like you said, Rob. But then you look back at the next, let's just say the next four or five draft, and he's going at 110, and you're like, oh man, maybe I could have took him at 110. But again, it doesn't matter at that point. If you want Bailey Ober, just fucking take him wherever you want to
take him. Take him in the third round, coward. You don't get to claim you love Bailey Ober unless you're taking Bailey Ober in the third round this year.
Right. Like,
shut the fuck up about Bailey Ober unless you're taking him in the third, maybe fourth round, maybe at the turn. Do you love him or do you not love him? Like, it's a simple question. You either love Bailey Ober or you don't love Bailey Ober.
Yes, 100%. So I think it's
Jeff, was that OC your championship qualifier OC where the 10 starting pitchers went?
Yep.
So that's the thing with that is you can say like this guy went kamikaze. So you're competing against 11 guys. And on the other hand, boy, it screws up every other team in terms of pitching when somebody does that kind of thing.
Well, the deal I didn't even notice. Like, I'm going off my link. I'm really not watching the board at all. And I find it's like, there's just no pitchers kind of making it up because he was taking it off. But the deal is they came out with, you know, your end of thing rankings, and he was in the middle, and his hitting wasn't that bad because he went all hitters after that for like 20 picks or something, and then picked up some pitching at the end. But the team really wasn't the worst. I mean, he picked up a couple guys early before he did all that, but it screwed up, like I said, a little bit. But not it was
wild.
Just kind of one of those deals like, oh, everyone's taking pitching. Maybe, you know, I just have to kind of jump in. I kind of went with closers. Like it was starters that were going. And so I was like, oh, I'll just get my closers early and then deal with starters later.
Nice.
Yes. All right. Let's get into some news. Early this morning, the Yankees announced that they're sending ace Garrett Cole to MRI for his right elbow. He was getting a little bit of buzz this season as, you know, not being the kind of pitcher he was last year. You know, he finally won Cy Young, some of the metric that we really give a lot of emphasis on. Kind of were a little bit sliding down on Cole, use a different pitch mix, do a little, maybe a little less harder. But I don't know. This is kind of a pretty grave indication, I think, of possible future for the Yankees. Jeff, what's your reaction to the Garrett Cole news?
I'm not saying like it's going to happen, but he's old. He's had a bunch of other arm surgeries. This was in the cards. Like if there was, you're trying to pick a guy early that's going to get hurt. I think he was kind of the obvious one. And maybe a lot of people don't like that approach, you know, like that approach, but was he like 33 or something? It's throws not thrown as hard as he used to, but somewhat. Like, if you had to pick someone out of the top 10, I think that was going besides Glasnow. If Glasnow's in your top 10, I think Cole would be the one that I would kind of pick to most likely to get injured. And that's just what happens with pitchers.
So here, I'll ask a few questions. So you're drafting a main event today. There is no main events today. So there's no more information about Gerrit Cole. Where do you take Gerrit Cole? Or assume tomorrow. There is no test results have come back. There's nothing other than what we have right now, which is he's going for tests. Which round do you take him in?
I'd say round, maybe start to think about it in round 10, 8, 10. Is that too late?
Wow. I don't know. No. Jeff, where's your gut today?
I think it's more like the person. I think it would be after, like, I would take Aaron Nola before him. I'm trying to think. Grayson Rodriguez?
Yes.
Probably Rick Grayson. Like, there's him or Justin Verlander right now.
That's kind of both in the same boat. I think Verlander is, like, going around, 150-ish, right? And on my championship, Kodai Senga, 168.
Like, Senga's not getting really drafted at all, at least in OCs, because I don't know if you just had that blank spot for a month and a half. If you don't know, guys, it's going to be up, but it's also you. If you're doing a main event, you want $1,500, like, or your entry fee of $1,800. I think you're going to want a pretty steady pitcher and really not take a zero at some point. Like, when are you willing to take a zero is what you have to kind of place him at.
Yeah. Right. I mean, the only counter argument is if you're going for the main overall, getting an 8th to 10th round Gerrit Cole, if it turns out he's missing the first two starts and then comes back as Gerrit Cole, is dramatic as upside. So it's like how are you feeling lucky?
Right.
Well, it's also might depend on how many you have too. If you got one main event and you're really true, and you're just like, this is it, I'm like, I ain't taking that chance. Or if you're like some people and you've got, you know, your 37th one, you know, you're trying to be as everyone possible, then you take as much Gerrit Cole as you probably want and take that chance that he's going to hit then.
Right. If you're doing multiple ones and you have this early one, maybe you take a stab where you feel comfortable. And then if you're doing a later one and he's out, you're like, okay, whoopee-doo. Not whoopee-doo, but like you said, Jeff, you have multiple teams. So that's just the chance you're going to take. My concern is that it seems like it's been an issue so far. They said that he's been having trouble recovering in between starts. So it's not just something new that just popped up. It's been lingering around, and now they have to go to for an MRI. So without any additional news, I think it reads a little bit more ominous than just, oh, it just popped up yesterday when he was, you know, couldn't loosen up. This sounds like something that may have been lingering since they got to spring training.
For sure. And that's the thing, is the Verlander comparison is really interesting. Justin Verlander, I mean, Verlander's obviously old as dirt, but he's delayed. But as of today, like, Justin Verlander is healthy. He's just behind the other pitchers. Where as of today, Gerrit Cole's broken. He may be okay. Like, we all hope as human beings that it's nothing, that he'll rest, he'll stretch out, blah, 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 and it'll all be fine. But as of today, Justin Verlander is healthier than Gerrit Cole. And what's the talent level, like the true talent on a per inning basis between Cole and Verlander? Obviously, at this point in their career, a healthy Gerrit Cole is significantly better than Justin Verlander. But it's not like Justin Verlander, when healthy, is useless. So I think in a vacuum as of today, in a 15-team league, I'd almost rather Justin Verlander than Gerrit Cole. I don't know if that's crazy or not. If I had to take one of the two.
Here's another one. Walker Buehler.
Oh.
Yeah. I was just going to say, like, so in the last 5 days of OCs, that's actually, per pitches, it's Verlander 175, Buehler 177, and Darvish 180. So it's like, that's the spot maybe where you're thinking, like, he fits into, you know, I mean, a chance of taking him, like, around there seems to be the spot where you may think about it or you feel best about it. Anything early, I think, it's a little risky.
So then a couple other things I wanted to bring up about Cole. First thing is there's the cascading effect, and we all know this. One of the reasons why pitchers get put, starting pitchers get seemingly pushed up in the main event in Vegas compared to DCs through the year. There's a few reasons. The single biggest reason is pitcher injury. Yeah. So suddenly Zach Wheeler at the 15-16 turn, which through DC season, I don't know, Rob, you've been in 127 DCs. Correct me if I'm wrong.
It's 128.
Nobody has taken, or one person took Wheeler at the 1-2 turn. It would have been crazy. People would have posted the board. They don't post boards. It's wrong. You should not post boards. But if you posted a board with Zach Wheeler at the 1-2 turn, people were like, what the fuck is this guy doing? That's crazy. That's crazy talk. Like, that's so early. Why would you want the blah, 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 blah. Whereas in the main now with like Cole, obviously, like, unless literally it's Jesus came down from the sky, laid hands on him and says, I've never felt this good. And even there, I'd be skeptical as kind of an agnostic atheist Jew. It's like, so you're not taking Garrett Cole. You're not taking Kevin Gausman. So suddenly Wheeler, if I'm at the 1-2 turn, is not crazy. Like, I don't know if it's something I would do, but it's not crazy. And it's not that it's not because I think starting pitching is awesome. It's just you've taken them out, and now somebody has to fill that void. And I think that's what happens, and that's what will happen. So everybody gets pushed up now because of Garrett Cole in that second round, third round pitcher runs. And what it means is even more, if you're picking early in drafts, like if you have the 1-2-3 and you took, call it Acuna, take it, you know, it doesn't matter who. I'm almost getting nervous which pitchers get to me, and I really need a starting pitcher unless I have a build that it's like I like round 5, 6, 7, 8 starting pitchers, so I'm going to pound hitter. What that then means is if I'm picking, let's say, in the middle of a main, there may be all kinds of crazy hitters who get back to me in that third round because there's the starting pitching run is both shorter and it starts earlier. That's a long rambling way of saying this is why ADP goes so weird when we hit mains, because we just have more news. More shit's happened than happened over the winter when they're all sitting around at drive line and hunting and fishing and doing all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. That's such a great point about that cascading effect. And I think that coupled with maybe, you know, if you're doing a lot of DCs and you're just like, you don't want to maybe break ADP or show too much in your drafts before the big season, and that's also the push-up I think that comes expected with the main event. I totally see Burns and Wheeler be firm. Like, if Cole is out there, maybe not, maybe even without Cole out, I think they're firmly going to be 50% of the time in the first round. Both Burns
agreed.
And Wheeler.
So yeah. So the way it happens is if I have pick 13, 14, and let's say I say Corbin Burns is my SP2, and I feel really strongly about that with strong conviction, or replace Burns with Wheeler. It doesn't really matter. I have conviction they are the second best starting pitcher, and there are five hitters that I'm agnostic. I'll take any of these guys as a hitter, and I may like one more than the other, but I know there's five hitters. Like, if I get Bryce Harper as my best hitter, I can win with Bryce Harper as my best hitter. Like, there's just a bunch of guys. Suddenly, if I have pick 13, I want to take Corbin Burns or Wheeler going into the turn because I know I'll get a hitter coming back out of the turn, whereas they may not come back to me at pick whatever it is, 17, 16, 17, 18. So I push them into the first round because I'm just strategizing between my two picks at the turn. So I think it may be even higher than that. Corbin Burns will have an ADP in the top 15 in the mains. I'm for sure. I think now it's a lock that in, which means another hitter is not going to be in the top 15. Just like that's I ran an algorithm before I came on. People think I don't prepare for this, but I did actually run some numbers. And if a pitcher goes into the top 15, then another hitter is falling out of the top 15.
Yeah, and it could be a very attractive group of hitters, and Judge or Turner or Tani, you know, Jordan Alvarez. Just becomes a nice, you know, round two of hitters, and even round three, because I think that next group as well, the Pablo Lopez, the Yamamoto, Kirby range gets up too, and then maybe you have, you know, players like Gunnar Henderson and Vlad Guerrero and Luis Robert even, you know, falling further into the back end of second, midway third, late third, all that kind of stuff. That's all going to be, and then all your strategies that you thought while you're looking at the ADP chart, the colorful one, and you're mapping out your draft, and it comes to that part, and you're like, I didn't expect this guy to be here. You should expect everyone to be available or nobody to be available.
One last point on Gerrit Cole.
Yeah.
The Yankees rotation is suddenly, if you squint one way, has the potential to just be horrendous. Like if you assume the worst on Gerrit Cole and you're worried about Carlos Rodon, spring training's been uneven, let's just say. And
that's being kind.
And you're quite worried still about Nestor Cortez's health, whether his body can hold together. Their rotation is suddenly Marcus Stroman and Clark Schmidt.
Yep.
That's not incredible. So then the other cascading thing is that everybody's speculating on is like Scott Boras is on the phone. Do they sign finally somebody Blake Snell or Montgomery? It seems like it makes sense. I know there's luxury tax stuff, but it's also New York. Like they're not going into this season with Marcus Stroman, Clark Schmidt, and pray for rain. Like that's just not on.
Yeah, or they have to bend at the maybe any trade, you know, trade ask for Dylan Cease, you know, like if they don't want to spend money now, like somehow they have to replace that because you might have Juan Soto for one season only. You're going to go with Clayton Beter as your SP4 and Will Warren as your SP5 and counting on Luis Gil to give you 80 to 90 to 100 like Michael King innings. Bad.
They got Luke Weaver.
Luke Weaver. I mean, yes. Forgot about Weaver.
I have a small erection, Rob, that you were able to name who the Yankees' 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th starting pitchers are off the top of your head. That was incredible. I don't know if you were reading it off a screen or you actually knew that from all your DCs, but that was tremendous.
What I did was I aggregated all these wonderful lineup tools out there now. We have Roster Resource, MLB Playing Time, Razzball, RotoWire. I found the Playing Time aggregator.
Wow.
Yeah, Tanner Bell made me a special Playing Time aggregator, and I just threw it in there. And
so which one gets weighted the most? Which one gets weighted the most?
I weighed them all evenly for now.
We are poking. We're leaving this all on the – if this is our last podcast before draft day, we're leaving it on the field here. We're poking every single bear there is to poke.
And the Yankees don't have Gerrit Cole. I mean, Aaron Judge is a little banged up too. He came out early, sat out today. They said he won't play at least till Wednesday. Mid-body soreness. I don't know. Mid-spring training fatigue. Lots of these crazy labels that are being thrown on these injuries. I don't know if it's anyone even going to get a little bit worried about him, but considering he's got to like nurse the toe, this is also a little bit scary, I guess, if you're drafting a main tomorrow. It's two heavy guys. You're on mute, Rob.
Aaron Judge visibly winced in his last at-bat yesterday. Yes. So that should be nothing. But if I'm at the eight and let's just say I'm between Ohtani and Judge, and let's say like it's a coin toss to me who you want, I don't think it's a bad tiebreaker right now. Like that's even if he's going to miss a week of the season, that's a decent tiebreaker. If it's an actual tie, obviously you don't drop Judge out of the first round just because of that, unless there's more news, but, it's not nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they're full of shit too. They're liars.
Right, yeah, and I mean, even the player had no idea of what they're doing in their body. They have no idea how they feel either when they say they feel good or bad. Jeff, you staying off Judge for now, or like at least knock him down a little bit? I mean, because
probably
I read
down a bit. Yeah, if he's also like this could be nothing.
Could be,
and he's one of the few players that could be the best there is out there.
Yes,
like at the end of the season, if you give me he would be one of my top picks to be the best player in the game or the fantasy one. So it's someone like you can't ignore. If you're going to have to take a chance, Judge is one that I'm not letting him drop too far.
100%. I read that batter breakout article on Fangraft and like kind of exactly what I was thinking about him all year. Like if he hits 500 plate appearances, even where he goes, and the per plate appearance pace that he was on last year before he hurt his toe was even better than or just as good as the year before. That when he hit 60, it could be a huge value. I haven't had a problem taking him in the back end of the first round just for that reason alone. So, you're right. If he kind of, you know, if it is a nothing burger and he's slipping in the draft into the middle of the second, it would just be huge value there. Noelvi Marte had been knocked with an 80-game suspension for PEDs for Boldenon. Also known as something else on the street, but I won't profess my knowledge of steroids.
Oh, stop, Van Lee. Come on, tell us about all the tell us about all the steroids you've taken over the years.
I've been around it as a manager of a gym once. I saw a lot of it happening in real time. But this is kind of the when we always said it'll sort itself out. We didn't think it would be this way where it sort itself out. But this is a big hit. I took him last night in my draft champions at about pick 350. It was where I thought, you know, were people drafting Junior Caminero and Jordan Lawler ahead of them? And I know they can get called up in any moment and have more plate appearances than Marte, but I still, you know, I had comfortable third base and a corner already. And I was like, all right, you know what? I'll treat him as a midseason, you know, pickup from a, you know, DC, because I still like the skills. But then I was, you know, talking with Vasco Mirek, who was in my in the draft, and we were live streaming, and he brought up a good point I didn't think about prior. It was like, do you think that any of his production last year came from the help of him taking steroids that he was? And I was like, no way. And I dismissed it because in mid-draft, I don't want to start thinking about those things. But today, this morning, I'm not going to lie, had me thinking about it a little bit more. But what do you guys thought on, I guess, the red shakeout or just the suspension itself? And if you would at least draft him at some point in a draft and hold right now?
Marte, somewhere in a draft and hold, after around 40, if you get half a season or whatever. The one thing is, I don't even know if you're going to get, might not get half. If the Reds are just healthy and rolling,
yeah,
why would they? They would just sit in the minors until we need you. Unless they have a need on the team and someone's not healthy, which easily could be that way. I mean, they've got India as a backup right now. So just because he's done with the 80 games doesn't mean you can add him. There's a ton of guys you can do this with this year between rookies and injured guys that if you want to do it in a draft, add them and hope you pull like the Tariq Skubal and just have him sitting out there until you add him later. All the guys coming back from Tommy John, there's Jason Dominguez, there's now Marte. If you just draft him in the 30th round and drop him and pick someone else up, you might be able to remember that and get him cheap. But also be careful for other guys doing that too. You should go through all your drafts and keep track of that. But in a draft and hold, it's a 40th rounder for me. He is right now.
I love that shade, very low key shade that he gave to you, Rob. Where would you draft him? The 40th round when you just said you drafted
That's
him
fine.
At pick 3?
Yeah, no.
Would I draft him? Of course I would. Just 250 picks after where Rob took him.
That probably goes night. To the that probably ties into though, like what Jeff was saying before with the mains. Like it depends how many you do. Like I'm like you said, I'm on my 1300 DC, so
I,
you
know, I'm just I'm
let
just
me get him there.
I'm just shitting you. Really good advice there from Jeff. One of the things I think you should do is like if you're on your flight home from Vegas or you're sitting around and you have a free hour after all your drafts are done, grab a pad of paper and write down all the rookies. And I don't mean like Wyatt Langford, like the guys who are up and aren't going to get drafted or dropped anywhere, but all the late rookies on every team and just have a list. I know you can find it in season and you can keep looking, but why are you looking for this guy who's playing in AAA necessarily when there's no buzz about him coming up? You just forget he's available in one of my leagues. I have room for a stash. This is a clever stash. So I think having it written down somewhere can be really helpful once the season starts. I guess Tony Kemp or Josh Harrison is making the Reds now, which is sort of a wild development. We'll see what happens with Marte, but it's certainly for redraft. I wouldn't take him. I think there's better prospects if you want to speculate.
Yes, I have him on my drop. I already made a fab move that hasn't been processed yet, but I have him in my online championship, and feels good to make a bid and you know just have it up there. Like, all right, you know, moving on from him. And exactly, hopefully to time that right, maybe like Jeff was saying, you know, just pluck him a little earlier before he, you know, comes back and try to get him back on the team. And hopefully just stay away from the steroids, folks. Or who knows, maybe it was in the food. So many
supplements.
So many reasons. Well, it actually is something that they do give to farm animals to make them meteor and produce more, you know, like nitrogen. That it's an It's a real practice. I wonder how much of that can leak actually into a test. I wonder if that's a real thing. But let's move on to Joey Votto. He's going home. Yay! He's going home.
Oh, finally
getting picking up steam in late in these DCs. And not even last round. He's just been like, hey, let's pluck him at, you know, 580, 600. Joey Votto's back. I don't know. I pulled up Brandon Belt's stats from last year, and he like seems like a drop-off to me from Brandon Belt. What do you think, Rob?
I think they signed him basically to be the Jays mascot. I think
or
that
Pete
they're...
Rose. I like that little tweet you had about that.
Not that crazy. Look, I love Joey Votto. I'm so happy. If the Jays are going to be mediocre this year, as I said on Twitter, at least they should be fun. And Joey Votto being around is just fun and enjoyable. I think that if Joey Votto is healthy, which he says he is. And again, players lie about that all the time. I think there's a 15 to 20% chance that a Joey Votto with not a full-time job, but like a full-time job against righties and playing against the odd, not great lefty could still be a plus real baseball player and a usable in 15 team, corner infielder DH type. So I think it's possible. What has to happen for that to happen with the Jays? Well, first off, he has to be healthy. He needs to probably go down to Buffalo for the first 3-4 weeks of the season. And then either Vlad needs to get hurt, Justin Turner needs he's fine. Justin Turner needs to be physically in a position where he can play third base, at least part-time play third base. Or Justin Turner needs to get hurt. If none of those things happen, then Joey Votto, when ready, becomes a pinch hitter. Like, that's all he is, which, again, is fun. He's going to be around, but is obviously useless for fantasy baseball perspectives. I took Joey Votto in the two DCs I did with my 50th pick in both DCs. And I don't think it's crazy that I'll get 4 or 5 usable weeks out of Joey Votto at some point this season, which is you talk about all the time. If you're getting 4 or 5 usable weeks from your 50th pick, that's a home run pick in some ways. Like, obviously, absolutely. Would you rather the obscure rookie who breaks out and gets you 500? Sure you would, but I'm not smart enough to find that guy. If I can get 5 usable weeks from him, that's amazing at that pick. And I think there's a real scenario. There's also a real scenario. He never makes it out of Buffalo and never plays a game with the Jays. Like, that is also possible.
Jeff, got any thoughts on Joey Votto this season for fantasy value?
I think he's I think it's only draft and hold right now. I don't think there's anyone you can any way you can justify kind of rostering him at this point. Maybe hope someone gets hurt at the end, but there's also some other guys I'd rather take that chance on. I mean, in my OC last night, just a late first baseman like Josh Bell didn't get drafted.
Jesus.
So it's like easy. Like, well, I mean, there's no way you're taking Votto. I mean, Votto over Josh Bell. So it kind of depends on your league depth, but it's also kind of like Rob said, it's like this best case scenario is maybe 2/3 of a time playing.
Yeah.
So like until he kind of gets there, maybe someone's going to already have him. Especially if there's like any Canadian in your league.
You're disrespecting our prime minister. Come on, Jeff.
The other point is like, I kind of wonder if you made like some side deal. Like I get like 10% of all jersey sales. Cause I figured like every Canadian's going to have their Votto Blue Jays jersey at some point, or if not 10 of them.
July 1st in Toronto. I don't even know if they're playing at home on Canada Day, but Joey Votto in the lineup on Canada Day will be the greatest thing that's ever happened to baseball in Canada. And yeah, I include the 2-World Series and the Batista bat flip. Like, Joey Votto playing on Canada Day would just be incredible.
And that's it's great for Toronto. Like, they have him and see what they have. Just if he can play in the minors and bring him up and everything's great, but I just think there's just a long path for him to have to get 2/3 at bats for the team.
Yep.
Yes, correct. And that's pretty much what Brandon Belt held last year is when he was healthy. He was just that perfect streamer in a 15-team league, or if you held him, he was just plug and play when they had 3 good righty matchups and just hope for a couple of bombs. But just quickly looking at the roster, Rob, who would be the current like miscast, or who would be off the roster as currently set? Who would he make it ahead of? Would it be like in place of a Nathan Lucas, or I think that's how you say it. Is it Lukes or Lucas? Is it Lucas?
Lukes.
Lukes. It is Lukes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So who drops off the active roster if he does?
I don't understand how Santiago Espinal is still on the team. Okay, so that's like, what I thought. Like now, to be fair, there's somebody out there right now saying, but Rob, you've said before Santiago Espinal is not going to make the team, and yet he's still on the team. That's true. He just seems so redundant on this team. And by redundant, I mean they already have six other shitty infielders. You don't need the seventh shitty outfielder. And I feel like Santiago Espinal is the seventh guy of basically interchangeable guys who aren't very good.
Right. So when are they adding JD Davis?
Yeah, I mean, it's the third base thing is a problem. Like, it really just is a problem. Anyways, don't get me started. This is not I don't want to talk about Kiner Falefa. This is a fantasy baseball podcast.
Trying to bait you into it.
We don't need to talk. I'm just disgusted. Anyways, let's move on. Come on.
Okay, let's look at another kind of cascading effects with injuries, and we'll look at Devin Williams of the Airbender pitch, and one of the first relievers off the board, David Bednar. Right now, at least Bednar, like you said, Rob, at least Bednar is having a catch right now. Devin Williams is seeing a spine specialist.
Jeez.
Some pretty airy news on especially on Williams' part. How does this change the landscape for you, Jeff, in terms of approaching relievers? Are you sniffing Williams if he's in your draft at a certain price, or he's staying away with this news?
I thought he would fall. Like, I don't know if someone really didn't get the news last night, but he went as like our eighth reliever, and I was like, okay, thanks. I think unlike the mains, I think he's going to fall a ways. People want those. I really don't think. I mean, Williams gives you great stats, but people are wanting saves. Right. So I think they're going to want the guy that's less in talent, even considerably less, that's going to give them saves. And I was trying to think of – I think I'd take Clay Holmes over him right now. I'm not – I mean, if I had a draft today and I'm going to have to take a top 10 round pick – I think I'm taking Holmes over Williams right now. But I think that's how far he would fall for me. I'm trying to think of Alvarado. Like, kind of the guys after him are have enough question marks, and I may take a chance to see if Williams comes back healthy. But I think he would fall quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, it would be better almost if a diagnosis came out and said he's going to miss the first 4 to 6 weeks. Then you could at least run math and figure out, like, so what kind of an anchor am I actually getting here? It's just, I think people hear spine specialist, and it's like so many baseball players have back injuries, but a spine specialist isn't my back is sore, and it's my hamstrings that are tightened up or my glutes are tightened up. I need to see a chiropractor. Spine specialist is scary shit, which could mean nothing. Like, it literally could mean we did a bit of acupuncture and everything loosened up and everything's good again. But it doesn't sound like that. Like, it sounds really scary. And if the whole reason of drafting an anchor closer is to have an anchor closer, I use an early pick, even though rationally from an SGP valuation perspective, it doesn't really make sense, because I just need that security. Like, I don't want to be chasing saves. So I'm willing to kind of overdraft. I use in quotations. Ultimately, you draft them where the market, to quote Matt Modica, the market's right. So like, it's not an overdraft if that's where you have to take it if you want the player. It's exactly perfect what it is. But at the same time, from a valuation perspective, you're overpaying for certainty. And I don't think you're getting any certainty as of today from Williams. So I can't take him as an anchor. So I agree. Like, he's not useless. Maybe there's a price at which you take the risk. But I'd there's a lot of closers I'd jump over him right now.
Yeah, I was shocked. I did a Draft Champion Express all in one night last night, and he still went in the fourth round.
Fall.
Yeah, And that gentleman, you know, played risky. He got Gausman, Williams. So he felt strong about just maybe not aware of the news or just disregarding it completely.
I'm just happy that gentleman or woman came out of the coma he's been in until 10 minutes before the draft. Like, I'm just happy that he's emerged from the coma. Like, look, there's a place where you can take those kinds of risks, but fourth round means you didn't really get much of a discount.
No. And Joel Piamps, who may be the next man up, he went in the 23rd round, which is an interesting, you know, early spec, you know. I thought it was a little too early because we don't even know if it's going to be him specifically that replaces it. You know, there's just people like Trevor McGill. People think it's going to be the kid Abner Uribe. Can it be Elvis Peguero? I don't know. There's maybe Aaron Ashby, not Andy. He doesn't play anymore. But all those guys got picked and relatively a lot earlier than normal, you know, but not Williams. Williams didn't move.
Do you think there's a 0% chance that they assume, the worst on Williams, that somehow DL Hall just is like, yeah, now you're our closer?
Oof.
No.
I still think they're going to try to get him somewhat rotation to see if he could start. Yeah, let's just see if he could get there. I think they want to see it. Just give him a chance first and not go straight to it. But he can, but I think they're going to want to. It just seems to me that even like just looking at AJ Puck, right? He's got really good skills, and it feels like baseball in general are just trying to get more innings from pitchers with amazing skill sets. And if it's three or four innings rather than one, it seems to me that teams are trying to do that to their best ability, you know. And I would think they're going to try to do Hall.
I largely agree. It would just be a wild switch for fantasy.
Yeah, hey, like I got him on both my CLQ, so I would love that either way.
As somebody who is pro chaos, it would be chaos. So that's the only reason. Yeah, the AJ Puck thing is wild to me. It's like Miami's rotation now looks so fragile, even though there's so many high-skilled guys in that rotation.
It's so crazy. It's like, maybe now people are like, okay, AJ Puck's in the rotation. Tanner Scott's lost his strike throwing ability, and Sixto Sanchez might be the closer. It's like, what is happening in the spring training?
Well, but you can also like squint and be like, do you think AJ Puck can make it through a full season healthy? Do you think Edward Cabrera may not be healthy right now? Trevor Rogers, I don't believe, is healthy. It was 10 minutes ago that Jesus Luzardo wasn't healthy. And Yuri Perez is the perfect type of young pitcher who is tough to stay healthy. That's every starting pitcher they have.
Braxton Garrett, you forgot him being hurt.
Braxton Garrett, yes. And obviously Sandy Alcantara.
Max Meyer, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, it's like, who's going to trade away young starting pitchers? Well, Miami could trade for a bat using one of their starting pitchers. It's like, ooh, I don't know. They may need all of them.
Jeff, didn't you... I could have sworn maybe you wrote an article maybe last year at some point talking about if they were to try to stretch out Puck. Was that last year or am I just dreaming about this? Like a conversion of like who might be able to get stretched out.
I didn't do that, but I love reading articles about that. Like he has like the pitch mix. I think that's kind of or he should be able to work it, but no, it wasn't me.
Okay.
It's not a risky bet saying, hey, Jeff, didn't you write an article about blank? Well, the odds at all times are relatively high. That's right. Hey, Jeff, you were the guy who wrote that Danny Mendick article last year, wasn't it? That was you, right?
Oh, my God. Bought some baseball cards the other day, and one of my – it was a like low number, like 7 of 75 or like, you know, a low print number that could be it. And it was a Mendick. I'm like, great. The one card I got was freaking Mendick out of every player possible.
I'm sort of amazed, Jeff, that you didn't like just message me and say, Rob, I need your address, your mailing address or something. And mailed me the Danny Mendick to 2024 Topps card.
So here's the deal. So I was going to send you some. I told you a while back.
Yeah.
I go to the post office. You know what it takes to send stuff
across
borders?
It's a lot, and it's not worth it.
And I was like, it wasn't worth it. I've literally got the package. I can see it in the room that I was going to give it to you at first pitch, and then I wasn't going to. I might send it to someone to give it to you in in Nevada or Las Vegas, but I was just like, dude, I'm not sending this shit. It's going to cost more than what the cards were worth.
With almost certainly, you can just PayPal me some money if you're going to spend the money on postage, just send me the cash. I'll take the cash.
Oh, that's fantastic. We'll be right back with some ADP chat. Just want to remind you, if you are itching to get into some action and you want to do no in-season moves, just want to draft your team and go ahead at it, go check out Underdog Fantasy. They have live, a lot of best ball. You could do solo shot, which is a $75 entry. You only get one entry to that contest, the perfect game, which is $100. But if you like even less stakes, you can do the dinger for $10. It has $750,000 of overall prizes. And it also includes $100,000 to first place. It's pretty simple. You just get in there. You draft 20 players. No in-season management. 3 pitchers, 3 infielders, 3 outfielders, 1 flex. Make your starting lineup every week, each week of the regular season. It's very simple. Go to UnderdogFantasy.com. Sign up with the promo code PULLHITTER. And Underdog doubles your initial deposit up to $100. So get in the action. Go play some Underdog at UnderdogFantasy.com. Promo code PULLHITTER. All right, let's move on to some ADP chat here. I'm going to go right into pick 207, Mr. Stephen Kwan, outfielder for the Guardians, going to pick about 207, early as 182. Jeff, what's your thoughts on Stephen Kwan?
People hate him. He is not – there's just something about hitting the draft button with Stephen Kwan. I took him with pick – 240 in the draft last night. I think it's one to hate for batting average, and there's no home runs. I've got him on a few teams. The values are great. The ADP is low. If you know you can get this kind of stuff, just go ahead and grab someone with a low average earlier. He's always available out here, and I think his valuation's a lot higher than what it's going. It seems to be he's one of the ones, as everyone else is moving up, Kwan's moving down. Just seems to be readily available across the board. So you just know what you're getting. It's average, it's speed, and it's going to have some runs and no RBIs and home runs. You just got to make that up some other place.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting, like, one of those ink blocks of, like, what type of a drafter are you? Because there's no doubt if you're, like, a value drafter, I want the guy who's giving me the most SGP or the most roto dollars at the pick. Kwan is going to pop up, and not just pop up, but be like at the top of your spreadsheet or the top of your draft software for round after round after round of he's the best player. But I don't want Kwan, so I'll go to the next guy. Like, is it racism? Is it because like Asian last name? I don't know what it is, but yeah. Versus team construction. Like this is an unfair comparison, but we can't shit on everybody. Like, you know, the sucker drafter at the table, because he took Ruiz at every draft. And on the other hand, say, like, Kwan's a great pick. You should totally take him because you're going to get a return on investment, because you will on with Ruiz too. So what's the difference? Well, Ruiz, it's really centered on one category, not 2.5 to 3 categories with Kwan. So he's running up his SGPs, running up stolen bases, number one. Number two is Kwan is a better real baseball player than Ruiz. So if one of the arguments against Ruiz is he could lose his job in real baseball, Kwan, a bunch of things are going to have to go weird in Cleveland for him to fully lose the job there. But he's an interesting guy.
I mean, he's also like very awful against lefties. And I know just the team is just not designed to say, hey, let's replace Stephen Kwan or move him down in the lineup. But it's just, it's very, I think the gap between even him and like a Sal Frelick is kind of closed in terms of ADP. Like, it's getting closer, but it could have been early in draft season, one of those. Well, I know Frelick doesn't lead off, but it's more like a similar skill set where you could say, oh, I could just wait for this kind of impact later on my teams. But yeah, I've only drafted him one time this year. It was at pick 263, so it came out of like a real, you know, big cost for to draft him. And again, yeah, like you said, Robbie, just staring at your screen every round is the best value on your SGPG, but just doesn't really fit the, like, my team the way
Part of the thinking for you, Rob, because you've talked about this a lot on a lot of podcasts I know this offseason, that you were short power last year.
Yeah.
And unless you start off your draft and say, like, look, I'm going Judge Yonder or like Alonzo or something, like power, I'm going to load up on power and then I'll figure it out down the end. If you're drafting a balanced team, like if you keep just plugging away at guys, Kwan shifts the balance a little bit. So if you had like a Schwarber, he can fix things. And I'm not shitting on Jeff's pick at all. Like I totally understand the pick. But if you're short, if you know one of your drafting weaknesses is I'm short power, then it's mentally really tough to say, but Kwan's the best player now, but he's going to make that problem worse.
Right. Yeah. I think that's what's shying me away from, you know, players like that. And even Michael Garcia to some point, I was saying last week, you know, it scares me just because the way I've been falling short in the past couple of years. So I'm staying away from that.
Yeah, I was just looking. I went at 248. Like, it's kind of not with my build either, but that's like the other guys that are going around there is like Lars Nootbaar, Chris Bryant, Parker Meadows. Like, maybe that
at the moment. Yeah.
Stanton, man. Kepler.
Yeah. Those are some bad players.
Yeah.
They're also players you're going to cut. Like, in an OC, you can cut Kwan if you're good in stolen bases, runs, and batting average and need power pretty easily.
Oh, yeah. Or you keep him on there and, pick up that power guy that someone else is getting gutted by their batting average later, too.
Yeah, 15, it's a little bit different. You're kind of – it's a tougher guy to just cut in a 15-team league, Kwan. You're kind of using him most weeks, I would think.
I would think so, yeah. Let's move on to Jaime Candelario, Cincinnati Reds, first and third base eligible, 212 as early as 197 in the last 10 DCs. Jeff, what's your thoughts on Mr. Jaime Candelario?
This was DC ADP. It seemed like a little high.
This is DC ADP, yes, correct.
It was just like, I kind of think like the dual positions are kind of getting him a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
His value's up a little bit on that. I don't know how he's a lot of times different than some of the other. Maybe I should consider him a third baseman, and maybe this is looking a little bit more like where third basemans are kind of out. Like, there's a lot of first basemen that are just that they available after this that might even be as good as him. So maybe he's fallen more. People are considering him as third base, so they're considering the position flexibility. But I don't know how or why he's going here with a lot of other options available after him. So I know Chapman, he's probably been slowly getting his ADP kind of brought up. Suarez, I guess that's more of a power play. I guess you're going to take a pit. He's maybe like the last third baseman some people might consider worthwhile. So I could sort of see it. I mean, he's going a little bit after Isaac Paredes. Maybe he's the poor guy's Isaac Paredes that has first and third, and you can kind of just stick him in your corner spot. I think he's fine, but I would think he'd come up with a better plan at third base or first base.
So the one thing I'll say is, and we've talked about this when we've talked about a bunch of Reds this during the ADP review, is Martinez and all of the playing time projection sites that we aggregate now out there had a bunch of hedges on the Reds playing time that didn't quite make sense. But when there were like nine guys for eight non-catcher spots, you could understand how the playing time had to be kind of fudged, maybe, in some ways. With Marte's suspension, the one thing I would give people advice is go back to your spreadsheets, to your projections, whether you're a projection guy or not, and make sure that it actually makes sense now in terms of how many plate appearances you think Reds or hitters are going to get. Don't be like, I mean, you can do whatever you want. It's your draft. It's your projections. You can do whatever you want. Just make sure they add up. Like, make sure there's a logic there. Like, if you think Josh Harrison's going to get 400 plate appearances, God bless you. You can do that. But I think that a lot of these guys are just a little bit too low now that the playing time crunch isn't quite as big a crunch as it was before. That's not a per se argument for Candelario, but I think that you don't want to be, well, again, you can win being any guy you want to be or woman you want to be. But you want to make sure that like they're actually logical. And I don't think a lot of the Reds playing time are quite logical right now. Still, I think they're still behind.
In terms of maybe some players may think he's going to take a jump because he's in Great American Ballpark. Can there be any play there? I mean, he does get a lot of extra base hits. There's 40 doubles twice in the last two, in the last 3 years. And I kind of agree with the playing time thing because he doesn't have really any bad split between the lefties and righties, so he should be in there most of the time. Do you think there's any additional juice here for the park change? I mean, he played in a good park in Washington last year. It's not like that's a bad park for batters.
Yeah, and the projections capture that. So I don't know that you need to do a double adjustment for that for him. I think if you see him as a corner infielder, the thing is, I don't know what the big difference is between him and Josh Bell. I don't know the big difference between him and Anthony Rizzo. I don't know what the big difference is between him and Jose Abreu. You can argue, well, no, I like him a little bit better as a corner infielder than those guys, but those guys I can get later. I don't feel the need to be aggressive to get him just because he's part of the sexy Reds lineup. That doesn't do that much for me.
I mean, it seemed to be what happened too, because not that he was that close to those guys, but November, October, November, to 290, 270, 260 area. So it's closer to those first basemen. And it was a glob of those guys. Cause like you said, what's the difference? He had 8 stolen bases last year, but homers were the same, pretty same impact on batting average, than the Rizzo, Bell, Abreu crew. So yeah, I get maybe that positional flexibility, the multi-extra spot, maybe give him a little bump, but who knows if it should be this much of a bump. We mentioned his name before, but Braxton Garrett is going at pick 213 off the board. So he is 161 in these last 10 DCs. I am currently, but been off Braxton Garrett all draft season long. I think he was a little bit lucky with his efficiency through innings last year. And I don't know. He made like a weird pitch mix change in the second half, and it just didn't really resonate that it was better. And I don't know if he was just nursing the injury in the second half last year that he changed it. But I don't know. Just give me a bad feeling all draft season. So I've stayed away. Jeff, what do you think about Braxton Garrett?
I actually liked him, but now I'm off. The deal was I was fine with the 2-pitch mix. I think that it was working just fine for him to get by. He went deep into games, but since the injury, and it's, I don't know if this is right, but I had a couple early DCs where I took him and maybe around this spot. And it's just like, I felt like I've got enough exposure. If he comes back and he's great, I'll have him in those. And I'm just not going to double down if it goes bad and just have him in every league. So there's other pitchers I'll take later than him for quite a few rounds, considering he's hurt and hasn't done anything right now, but I don't know where I would kind of jump back in. I think it's going to be maybe 10 rounds later. It's going to be quite a bit. Just kind of looking at the pitchers, there's ones I'll take. Charlie Morton, definitely after. There's just a bunch of these middle guys, and I take a middle guy that's hurt.
Yeah, if I'm going to take a pitcher with a shoulder injury, I'll take Nestor Cortes, who's going later than him, but who's actually pitching right now.
Yeah, there's so many. I was looking at this.
I don't mind taking injury risk starting pitchers who are healthy as of today, who I know could get injured tomorrow, and I move on. I hate drafting pitchers. Like, again, this is not Justin Verlander. This is not – he's hurt right now. And I don't know that he's going to get healthy this year. So he'll go later in mains, I think. I don't think people take him here once these mains start.
Yeah, he's kind of with Kenta Maeda with me. Like, both of them aren't throwing the kind of...
Oh, I would take Kenta Maeda.
Times over.
Bro, he's got the injury, too. Are you just ignoring that, then?
Yeah, I think Kenta Maeda is going to be okay. But yeah, like, sure. Put them together.
I guess I was just
Maeda threw 50 pitches in a grapefruit game on Thursday. Like Maeda is hurting, but he appeared in a game. Like yeah. I'm willing to take risks. I hate guys who are just not playing. And it's not like they're throwing on backfields. Like, I don't mind if you're not appearing in spring training games, but you're throwing. It's they don't know what he's likely to open on the IL. Well, no shit, he's opening on the IL. But is it he opening on the IL and he'll be ready 2 weeks later? Or is he going for surgery? I just don't know what Braxton Garrett.
Yeah. It's just weird. He did like this odd swap of like more four seamers and less sliders in the second half. And he's like, everything went the wrong way. Zone contact, O swing, swing and strike. But also, like, he had 11 game starts under 80 pitches last year. And that's in company with Zach Greinke, Austin Gomber, Cutter Crawford, Luke Weaver. I don't know. I just screamed to me like he just, I think, pitched over his skis a little bit last year. But yeah, now with the injury, shouldn't be anywhere near this like ADP. Carlos Estevez is pick 216. I know we talked a lot about Robert Stevenson. We just want to touch real quick on how you feel like Carlos Estevez fits in here. He's very in an island by himself as a guy who's coming off of 31 saves the prior year. He was close to Robert Suarez. They were in a similar range, but Suarez has been boosted up recently in the last couple of weeks. So he's just chilling out here, waiting to be grabbed for saves. You guys have an eye on Carlos Estevez at all?
I actually think this will move up in the main event, where it's like, I think this is also a DC one where you don't expect it. Estevez to keep it the whole year. Like, you're putting 15 saves on this, but if he's the closer and he's starting the year, there's people that wait on closers to the end and they're gonna be bragging that they got Estevez. They may not be bragging for very long, but I think he's one of those ones where a lot of people are gonna be happy to have him as their second closer, because there's just not enough to go around. I mean, just numbers wise, there's just not enough. And so he'll be someone's second closer, hopefully not their first.
he's the guy who I think people, for whatever reason, haven't reacted that the world has changed. Could he lose the job in 6 weeks? Of course he could, but he could also hold it again for the full season. And I think he is the capital C closer today. He's not in a job share, so he should be going a little bit earlier. Not a lot earlier, but a little bit earlier.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. And the RotoWire online ADP is pretty similar, 212 in the last 20 drafts, last 5 days. So, it's pretty similar in that vein. But I do agree, maybe in the first main, he jumps up to like that 180, 190-ish mark. Let's go to my favorite player in Major League Baseball, Jared Kelnick of the Atlanta Braves, 218 ADP, as early as 190 in the last 10 drafts. Jeff, what do you got for Kelnick? 203 in RotoWire online, so it's a little bit of a different deal in the Fab leagues recently.
Just when you make your evaluations, he's batting ninth. The managers come out and said he's batting ninth. There's no like he's stuck down there. Just look at what Atlanta has. Give him 90% of what they did last year for the guys batting ninth, and just prorate it to that. I think a lot of people are giving him way too many plate appearances than what he's going to get, and it's going to take injuries for him to move up. But I think Michael Harris is going to be the first one moving up before it's Kelenic. So, and the weird thing, when it was on Foul Territory, I think is where our interview happened, is the manager was so set on having the right, left, or left, right, left, right going on with the whole team. He really wanted to maintain that. So we'll have to see if that happens or where Kelenic moves. But as of right now, just watch the plate appearances. Don't value him too high, because you're just not going to get the volume.
So Kelenic's WRC pluses in spring training for the last four seasons: 2021, 191, 2022, 120, 2023, 179, and so far in 31 plate appearances in spring training, minus 18. I think the interesting question is, what the fuck does Atlanta do if Jared Kelenic is not a major league player? They've come out and said he's got a long leash. We're going to just keep playing him. He's going to get a shot. And what's the backup plan? Like, they need, between Kelenic, forget, like, is he a platoon guy? there's a real chance Jared Kelenic is not a very good Major League Baseball player. There's also a chance he needs to platoon with somebody. And when you add that, like, and I know I'm not trying to be negative here, but there's at least some risk that Ronald Acuña is injured. And right now, I know Forrest Wall has been like a trendy little spring training guy, but they really could use a league average outfielder who's capable of playing all three outfield positions, like somebody 5% better, 10% better than Kevin Pillar was for them last year, because they don't have that guy right now. Like, you can say projections aren't everything. Forrest Wall projects by Bat X to be a 63 WRC plus. Steamer likes him way more, has him as a 78 WRC plus. Like, if Jared Kelenic is not ready for prime time, I can tell you, even on a team as good as Atlanta, Forrest Wall is not the answer. So I think there's another player coming here. I don't know what the fuck Kelenic's going to be. He could batting ninth. He could easily go 20-20 and be a great story and a great player and a great buy at this price. He could also be in AAA in 4 weeks.
Yeah. Two things. Jordan Leplow's right there, like the perfect platoon for him.
Yeah.
And from some article, or it might have been from the same thing, the team is considering Forrest Wall as the backup if someone gets hurt. But they said if it's long-term, the team really loves JP Martinez. Like, expect him to be called up. Forrest Wall isn't going to get starts. Forrest Wall is just continuously back up or a pinch runner. So, like I said, unless there's multiple injuries, Wall might have the job for like a week, but don't expect him to keep it.
This is JP Martinez, who used to be on Texas, right?
Yeah, he's bad. But that's what they said is they're going to give him a full-time – they wanted him to have full-time play and then bring him up.
Yeah, I don't believe that. I think they're going to add a veteran.
Oh yeah,
they're too good a team to be convincing anybody that JP Martinez is their long term answer.
I think they're just waiting for someone to
get cut,
released.
Yeah.
Please plug in Tommy Pham into that lineup, please.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you getting a little nervous?
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. I. All my top owned players are, the DC gods have stuck me with some voodoo magic. Tommy Pham, Emmett Sheehan, Jameson Taillon. Again, not top round players like Cole and such. Just, you know, fourth, fifth outfielders, seventh, eighth starting pitchers. So it could be worse, but when it's on a lot of your teams, it would make interesting lineups. Decisions to start the season for sure. Christopher Sanchez, Philadelphia Phillies on the board at 219 here as early as 198 in the draft champions. Had an interesting career so far. Finally found some control after years of not finding the zone. And cemented right now is the Phillies' fifth starter. Jeff, what's your thoughts on Mr. Christopher Sanchez?
I think he's one of those ones where you look at the changes he made. And if you start putting in any kind of reasonable numbers there and you start putting in any kind of reasonable numbers for the playing time, because a lot of places are putting in I'm trying to look at our projection. We still have him going to the bullpen at Fangraphs, which is cutting down his innings. You get the innings. What did he throw last year? It was he threw some of the 150. That's more than any of the projections currently have. ATC, they got 130. Man, everyone must be, because ATC's not pulling it from anywhere else to raise it. He's one that things are just wrong. He's got the job. You should project him for a full season. Take how many innings he started, you know, like the last couple months when he's starting, and figure that out over like 28 to 30 starts. And I, with his projections and the extra innings, I think he's way undervalued here.
Yeah, he's a guy who I've thought for months now was going to start climbing as people really dug into him. Hasn't happened yet. I don't know if this is the reason why Phil lobbied Greg to ban all early ADP and boards, because he wants to get all the Chris Sanchez. Like, his changeup is one of the best pitches in baseball. He keeps the ball on the ground. Lefties can't hit him, but he's pretty good against righties, too. He doesn't give up a ton of hard contact, and it's not like Philly has 17 guys that they can start fucking around with him, nor are they good enough to start messing around with him. So this is a really good if his ADP stays here, then he is the perfect fifth, sixth, seventh starting pitcher, like where you're going to use him most weeks. You're not going to use him against Atlanta or the Dodgers, but I think you'll, if you sit him maybe of his, let's say 30 starts, two or three really tough starts, Atlanta starts, you're going to get really nice production out of him, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree. I can't add any, you guys touched on everything that is, stand out about him. When I was digging into the pitch numbers and the arsenals, it's, you know, when you like look at other pitchers who throw the sinkers, the changeup, and the sliders, like he rates so well with it. And two, I think he saw a big, once they retrained stuff plus, he saw a big bust, a big boom, you know, he went up there. So if you're looking,
well,
at
if stuff plus likes him, then we must like him. And all just right. to be clear, I was joking about the Phil stuff. Not everybody knows me and knows how I am. I was 1000% joking about him lobbying Greg to ban boards and all that shit. I'm obviously joking, but I wouldn't be surprised if the system on Phil's computer really loves Christopher Sanchez. That's just I have no access to it, but I wouldn't be shocked.
All right, let's.
I got to run.
You got to go.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Rob. We'll see you. We'll see everyone on the next episode. Don't know when we're going to be able to get it in with Vegas happening, but
maybe you guys at the know pool. When.
Yeah. What's that?
At the pool. At the pool okay. In Vegas.
Pool maybe. In Vegas. Okay. Yeah, we could do a poolside pod.
Maybe Jeff won't be there, but we can just get drunk and pod. What could go wrong?
I love it. I love the sound of that immediately. Yeah, without a doubt. Raw. Raw and uncut, me, Rob. All right.
Jeez.
All right, fellas. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Launch Angle Podcast. For Rob, Jeff, I'm Rob.